All right, welcome back, everybody, to your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. This is Overdunk. My name is Zoinks. I'm joined, as always, by Big Bridget. What's going on, Bridget?
Not too much. Carved a pumpkin earlier. That was pretty fun.
Show off pumpkin? Do we have pumpkin within reach? Yeah.
Well, go grab it. Like 2 seconds.
Yeah. You take your time. I'll fill it in. But if anybody's
abstract, but I think it makes sense.
Okay. No, I saw a picture of it. I think it's pretty good. The chat's gonna want to see it. So yeah, show pumpkin off. Yeah. No, we absolutely get what that is.
I don't have my headphones on, so I can't hear what Zoinks is saying.
It's all good.
It looks like a ghost if the reference isn't clear, but it's supposed to be Ditto.
I think, yeah, the idea of that is hysterical. So thank you so much, Bridget, for showing that off. Yes, for audio listeners, it is a pumpkin with a carving of Ditto. Because 'tis the season, it's fall, autumn, it's the time to do such things. It's funny, I was trying to explain for the audio listeners what we were doing. I always forget this is an audio medium sometimes, as soon as I call for you to grab something to show up. However, I think it absolutely does look like a Ditto. That pumpkin's not for sale, as far as I know, unless you're already uploading it to eBay. So it's hard to call it a Ditto merch drop, per se. But it does feel like a spiritual expression of the segment. So thank you, Bridget, for providing your own Ditto merch drop for one of the first times for the show.
Anytime. It was very fun. I kind of just freehanded it.
Sick.
I was doing it with some friends, and they had, like, stencils.
Whoa. And he, like, okay.
Taped the, like, it was just a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And he taped it on there and, like, carved it in the shape of Mimikyu, and it looked so good.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm getting mogged.
I did see Steve's Mimikyu, and it did look very good. However, I also thought yours did, like, I saw yours, and I was like, oh, it's Ditto. And not just because I knew it was yours, I did know that it was cut like Ditto. So well done. But awesome. Yeah, it is Halloween. It's fall. I think on the Twitch live stream I called this episode the haunted patch. Depends on how you define it. If you're afraid of Darkrai, which after this patch most of you probably should be, I think it fits. But they did name it something entirely different. But we got a few things to talk about. Obviously, it's been a couple of weeks, so sorry about that, everybody, that we took a week off from the podcast last time. Been a really busy last few weeks for me and Bridget alike. So, but we're back on track. There was a new Pokemon game dropped during all this time. A couple of new held items got added to the game. We're gonna got a new Pokemon release coming up, I think in like a day. It's Thursday, right? It drops tomorrow.
Wow.
In less than 24 hours from this recording, there's a lot of exciting things on the horizon. So it's finally time to kick off this podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about a few things competitive right at the start of the show, talking about the Asia Champions League that's going to be kicking off right around the same time as LAIC, I believe. I think it's like the same weekend, at least the Japanese league. I don't know actually the structure or anything much about the APAC league or the India league this year. We'll find out. However, Slash did put out a esports signing gif. So that's exciting.
It's big.
Yeah, it's very, very big. After that, we'll talk all about the two new held items and the big patch that we just got. You're really going to like it if you are a Bridget fan out here. A lot of support changes coming in. We got a new Pokemon. We'll talk a little bit about Mega Charizard. And at the last part of the episode, we're going to talk all about Legends ZA, a game that Bridget's been putting a lot of time into, as well as a lot of people in the community have. So we want to talk about it because we're also a Pokemon show. You know, we like our game. So we'll be getting into all of that. But before we get into any of that, we're going to start talking about the Asia Champions League. And Bridget, I always say this at the start of every single episode. It's your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. I'm so happy that we are almost out of the off season. I'm going insane.
It's been hard.
We've pseudo translated this show into a more casual Pokemon podcast. And while I do enjoy casual Pokemon, I really, really love competitive Pokemon. And I've been yearning. I'm not going to lie.
That's fair. That's very valid. It's like fall is like boyfriend season. So you you're over your summer fling of no comp. And now it's time for
it's cuffing season.
Come home. Yeah, exactly. But I agree with you. I feel like we've gotten some pieces of information here and there, but now it's imminant. Yeah. It's in the next month, the rubber is hitting the road type beat.
It's so back, some would say. Oh, also, we got Ditto Hug. We got double Bridget on screen. Hold on. All right, fix it. There we go. all right, so the official Pokemon Unite Japanese Twitter tweeting out about the Asia Champions League returning. There are a few details. We'll click on that link in just a moment. But for now, I just want to pull up this big old picture on screen. And on the bottom of your screen, we got a bunch of teams joining. I'm cutting off Access Wave in the screen, but that's one of the teams. The biggest piece of news, I think, coming out of this bigger and better announcement for Asia Champions League this year is that there are 12 teams, at least in the Japanese League, that will be attending this event, which is very, very exciting, as opposed to the 8 that they had before. I don't know. How do you feel about this, Bridget? There's a lot of teams returning. There's some new ones coming in. You know, are you going to stick with some of your teams? I think you were like, were you a QT Dig fan last year? I'm trying to remember which team you held the flag for.
I picked Insomnia from the beginning.
The winners. So, the winners of Asia Champions League.
I felt pretty good about that one, yeah. Not going to lie. So I think I will remain an Insomnia fan. I know I've been seeing like team switch-ups and what have you in Japan. I feel like for the most part, Insomnia staying together.
They
but
are.
Okay. I was like, maybe one person left, but I can't remember. But I think for the most part, they're saying the same, but this is obviously a great sign. Almost like, I mean, not quite double the teams, but just about like a third bigger than it was last year for the league. And I also feel like the in-person ACL event, they've alluded to being bigger as well. I did see some concerns about like the winter tournament, like what exactly will be like the opportunities for teams who aren't in the league to compete at ACL finals or get practice in. But I mean, overall, I think an expansion of a league format, which people's biggest concerns are they don't give enough like experience to enough teams, like expanding the teams in it is great. Next step.
Totally agree. Yeah, I get that with this league format. I mean, 12 teams is a pretty big expansion, so hopefully we're picking up most of the players that are, you know, very serious about competing and trying to make it to this the grand stage. Obviously, there will be some left out. But like you said, winter tournament stuff does still exist as kind of that last chance qualifier. And one of those LCQ teams went on a run at last year's like Asia Champions, which I thought was so sick, you know, like proving for the open teams that there still is other competitive squads. So that is exciting. One thing to note about the change up in amount of teams, it is also leading to a change up in structure, at least for the Japanese team. So they had a unique structure. In fact, all three regions in the Asia Champions League season last year had a different structure. We'll see if that sticks around. Again, we have no announcements as far as I'm aware from either APAC or India. But Japan is going to go from basically a double elimination bracket every single weekend into a Swiss format every single weekend with, I think, 4 rounds of Swiss. And you're going to earn points that way. You'll have a winner each week, no matter what, with 12 teams and 4 rounds of Swiss. You'll always have someone who goes 4-0, and everyone else will be at 3-1 or worse. So you will still have a winner, which is good to hear. Exciting stuff for that. I did like, I forget where I'm reading it. I think it's a little bit later on here, but I do like this note. The top 8 teams out of the 12 teams in the league are the only ones that are going to advance the playoffs. And then it'll be playoffs for who actually gets to make it to the in-person Japan League, which is very exciting for the 2026 finals. So I don't know. I'm pretty stoked about this event. This is going to be a lot of fun. More teams. I love the professional organizations that are joining up with the Japan League. That always makes it a really exciting tournament. So yeah, this is going to be a blast. I can't wait. It was so much fun last year. I think it's going to be awesome. This is confirmed, though. Final tournament offline, end of March 26th. Location, Japan. Okay, we won.
So sick.
We won. I love that it was hosted at different events there for a couple years. But seriously, if you want fans of Pokemon Unite in the crowd screaming and cheering for all these teams, you got to put it in Japan. It's just the most popular place to play this game. It just works out so well. So very, very exciting that is going to be returning at the end of March.
Yeah, it's going to be sick. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Japan is the place. I mean, it was like popping last year from what you guys had told us. And you could tell, like, they were showing the crowd. It was packed. Yeah. There were so many signs. It was really cool. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to see that. I think all of the orgs are returning this year, or at least a majority of them seem to, which I feel like is a good sign as well.
Mm-hmm. It's like 6 of 8 or 7 of 8, I think, at this point, that have rejoined, and a couple have kind of renamed. You know, esports is in a weird spot globally, so organizations are, you know, who knows where they're going to end up. For example, Luminosity, no longer really, well, they're technically still an organization, but bought and sold already and changed hands, so it is a... It's an interesting world out there in terms of esports, but cool to see that the Pokemon Unite Japan League holding down the fort with 12 professional teams. That's going to be really fun. I am excited to see what happens in APAC and India as well. Obviously, they are a super big part of this Asia Champions League format. And yeah, like we said, Slash has stated their intent, I think a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, about wanting to play in, I think, is it Indonesia? Now I'm like going to regret it. One of the APAC countries where they are from, because they do have some like family ties there, which means they can represent them for the Asian esports games, which is really, really fun. Basically put on by an Olympic committee out there. So they want to compete there and also compete in Asia Champions League. They also posted an esports signing gift the same day that Shingdi did. And I'm just like, okay, are the stars aligning? That would be a very fun team. I would absolutely love to watch that team. So we'll see.
Same. Hopefully, I mean, either way, excited for both of them. Yeah. But I think we are all very interested to see who Slash teams up with. Mm-hmm. And I think it's Taiwan, Hong Kong, but I could be wrong.
I think you're absolutely correct, especially because that's where Shingdi plays for, right? So I think that would make sense to me. Yes, Taiwan. Thank you. I just finally actually looked at their notes. So my apologies. Yeah, representing Taiwan, which will be so cool. I'm very excited for a lot of these tournaments. But yeah, those two gonna be very exciting up and coming events. Asia Champions League, always a highlight. We try to do some watch parties on this channel. We definitely cover the event as much as we can on this podcast. So keep an eye out for that. Any more thoughts on Asia Champions League, Bridget, before we move into the patch?
I don't think so. Okay. I am hopeful that India and is it just like APAC is India and APAC it links as well.
Mm-hmm,
I hope they are expanded, maybe not even as much, but at least a little.
Give Korea two teams. Come on.
I want
just Korea to have a little more
in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. Yeah. Even just that would be good.
And I know it is tough. Like, it feels like every single year we talk about it, the Korean teams and the APAC teams, ping is a huge difficulty for these regions, which is obviously difficult. Also, not for nothing. Okay, if we're putting ping up already as a problem, it would be pretty cool if OC got thrown into that mix, too. To have a team to represent, seeing as Unite Championship Series, they only have that one tournament for Worlds qualification. So it'd be very cool to see Australia maybe included, because there are like a lot of esports do include Australia and New Zealand into more APAC. Like, you get the Oceania region, which encompasses quite a bit. Maybe one day.
For sure. I mean, if we're already stretching the ping as is, I feel like maybe that's the least I could do is give OC a spot.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know which league would be best, but Japan or APAC, but I don't know. I support that ideology.
Like you said, we're already making it happen.
I think it's, I don't know, it can't be much worse than what they're currently doing.
We're saying this and then all the APAC players are like, no, what are they saying? Please don't make it worse.
You don't get it.
Which, yeah, and to be fair to them, I don't. But all right, let's move on to our next topic of tonight. We want to talk about the new held items as well as the most recent patch. So let's start talking about the new held items first. We'll pull up Unite DB here. And we are going to talk about the Big Root and is that the Tenacity Belt? I feel like I say it wrong every time.
I thought it was Tenacious, but
Tenacity. I always said Tenacious, but it is Tenacity Belt. Okay.
Oh.
And corrected by UniteDB. So here we go. The Big Root held item gets you 450 base HP and increases HP recovery by 10, 15, 20% from self healing. Very important detail there. There is some more details provided by UniteDB here saying self-healing sources that are unaffected are wild Pokemon knockout healing, Pokemon's innate 5 second or 5 HP a second, or sorry, HP every 5 second. And then the stats provided by Leftovers and Resonant Guard and Slowbro's like oblivious kind of self-healing. So there are a few things that are exempt from this, but the game just doesn't define that as self-healing. Other things, though, do include it. A lot of Pokemon do have innate lifesteal or boosted auto attacks that heal them quite a bit. Looking at you, Lapras, who has been very fun to play this item on. But have you gotten the chance to play at all with the Big Root, Bridget?
I actually haven't.
Okay.
So these came out after DA came out. So this isn't entirely my fault. It's in the before times. So it did not compel me to log in. Okay. But I know I did actually watch quite a bit of like Unite streams and stuff and content on it. And the Root seems like a fun item. I feel like it's overall pretty beloved. Was definitely hurt by Venusaur from the Big Root for sure. So didn't love that. But other than that, I think most people are having fun with it.
Yeah, it's a cool item. I have to admit, I'm kind of impressed that it is good enough to see play. I feel like a lot of times when it comes to held items in Unite, if they have some kind of unique effect, like increased recovery or some kind of like a focus band trigger or something, like focus band's a bad example because that is played. But I feel like a lot of items are, they could be cool, but it's just like, you're just better off stacking damage of some kind in a lot of times in this game. It feels like the Big Rip does not provide any kind of damage source. Other than maybe like Flailax with its HP scaling, but not even, you'd be way better off playing better HP items than Big Root in that case. So it is interesting that it is the healing is viable enough in a few Pokemon. Like you mentioned Venusaur, that can work really, really well. I personally like it on Lapras or Trevenant are both really good examples of self-healing Pokemon that can utilize it. I have found a lot of fun putting it on Ho-Oh. Who with Regenerator does get triggered by Big Root, so you just get like a little bit of extra HP. That's been kind of fun. I also put Leftovers on. I understand that Big Root doesn't increase the Leftovers, but it's just a lot of fun to see your HP bar just fire up randomly when you're flying around. So yeah, cool. Big Root, interesting item. I think it's probably like, what, B tier maybe, right? Like it'll see very niche play on some Pokemon, but it doesn't feel like the worst. Now, I don't know if the same thing can be said about Tenacity Belt. So, Tenacity Belt, its first sin, if you will, is that its two stats that it provide are defense and special defense, plus 30 each. Defense is a tough stat in Unite a lot of the time. Its secondary or its passive effect is when a hindrance is inflicted on the Pokemon, the Pokemon's defense and special defense are increased by 12, 20, or 28%. Almost all of you will be playing with at least level 20 item at 28% for 3 seconds. I don't know. Tenacity Belt is, it feels like it's just slotted in a really tough spot. Defense already such a hard stat to actually contribute any kind of points towards. Not to mention, it has a very, very conditional effect for its passive to trigger. This is, I don't know. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a Pokemon that really enjoys using Tenacity Belt. I tried putting it on Metagross because I think last time I was like, Metagross got Tenacity, that'll work. And then I looked it up and it had the wrong stat. But I was like, still, I'm going to try to make it work. But yeah, it is. I have not found a lot of success with this one. It just feels like you're so better off running some kind of other item. But what do you think about the Tenacity Belt, Bridget?
Yeah, definitely does not seem as hype. I did not see nearly as much hype, at least for the belt, as I did for the Root. So, agree. Yeah, I mean, in the case of HP versus the defense stats, like, HP is so much more impactful and valuable. So, it just kind of is outclassed by almost every other item, I would say.
Yeah.
Which kind of is a bummer because I feel like tenacity is like an interesting
totally
like stat that we don't like play with very often, or doesn't feel like the devs play with very often. Right. So
I wish it gave you tenacity. Loved, like that'd
yeah,
be awesome.
Yeah. That would be great. Yeah. That would, you know, fit the name. It would make a lot of sense. I think that's what everyone was like expecting. So
yeah,
it is a bit of a letdown in that regard because of like, I feel like hindrances are a big gripe of the game is that too many things get those kind of moves. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe they will tune it. I feel like you would like literally have to change the item, but I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I mean, you could increase the duration after the hindrance, right? Because right now it's only for 3 seconds, which makes sense. That'll be most stuns in the game. You'll have it for like a trailing 1 second or something post stun. However, I feel like if you increase it all of a sudden to like, let's say 6-7 seconds, maybe you're like, okay, if you want to stun me, I'm way stronger for the rest of this fight, you know? And all of a sudden you're brawling a bit better. Something like that could be kind of interesting. You could just increase the base stats. I don't know. It is it's a tricky item, especially when it provides... Focus Band also provides 30 and 30 to Spadef and defense, right? Let's check. Yeah, I just feel like Focus Band is... leaps and bounds a better item.
So much.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it just feels so much stronger. Even if Tenacity Belt was, like, something that helped you even a little bit more in the end game or something like that. But as it stands, just not super big fan of that item. So, okay, maybe a hit and a miss, I think we'll call it. We're not doing full report cards for held items, but I would say big root, pretty big hit. I think Tenacity Belt, it just feels like it's kind of a nothing item. Sit over there with Goal Zone Hacker. R.I.P.
Oh, sweet God.
Sweet.
What a flop. I don't think anything's flopped as hard.
Yeah,
ever.
All right. Well, I did play a lot of games with Gudra. I was really dead set.
That's not my circus.
And Big Root does increase goal zone healing, right? Or does it not? I forget. Here's what I'm going to say, actually.
Oh, I don't know.
No free shoutouts. Don't worry. Ender's got the check in the mail already. But Ender is absolutely the source you want to go to for two incredible videos on the two held items that we just talked. The Big Root and Tenacity Belt talk from Overdunk here. Very surface level. If you want to get into the weeds, the numbers, the, you know, situational cases, the defense, the offense for each of these items, Ender University is the place you want to go. So go check out Ender's YouTube. Two amazing videos. I think that they're performing really well. People did not know how these items worked, me included. So a great place to do research is over there on Ender's YouTube channel. Go check it out.
Yeah, I'm super happy. Ender's been posting a lot more.
It's been awesome.
On his YouTube lately, and I'm like, yes, we're back.
We are so much levels of back. Also, very excited to see that guy compete for another year. No more on that. Okay. We have a pretty big patch.
We do.
That just came out. So Guardian Awakening version 1.20.3.10 for those of you that observe the numbers. How do we feel about Guardian Awakening?
In like a silo, I get the vibes because it's like supporter patch.
Totally.
They're like the guardians of the other guys.
Uh-huh.
And we're waking it up. Like they're getting tuned up. Love it. But it's like you also buffed like the ghosty guys, and it's like Halloween. I know that's not necessarily like a global holiday, but it's like the battle pass. Like, I don't know. You're already like halfway there with like the theme of the battle pass.
Right.
It's like dark. I don't know. To me, it's like Darkrai Gengar time.
Yeah, we could have done something
spooky.
That's
a miss. Yeah, I feel like that's a bit of a miss.
Ooh,
for me.
That's fair. That's good critique, because I actually do think Guardian Awakening is a good patch name, but you're right.
Agreed.
It feels like we could have had a better patch name for this patch in particular. That is very interesting. Okay. I like that a lot, actually. But otherwise, Guardian Awakening, pretty fine name. Okay. Should have been Guardian Aspookening. They gotta hire you.
There now we're thinking.
That's way too good. Okay. So, a few things we want to get to. Normally, we don't spend too much time in this update details category. However, there's a few cool things that I wanted to mention here. Halloween event underway. You can now join in on Halloween in Mer Stadium. Great. I'm down. I actually like the quick mode maps. I feel like I'm one of the lone defenders of the quick mode maps. I wish they would do some of these to, like, the new, like, maybe Electrode Volleyball comes back and it's just a pumpkin now. Like,
it's
whoa.
It's a pumpkin. Like, but if you hit it, then it's like you turn into the pumpkin, but you also lose. So.
Oh, can you imagine Mantis. Electrode Volleyball with, like, the snowball fight items or something?
Yeah. Oh, right. I thought you turned into pumpkins too. What was
Yeah, there is one. There is. Yeah, I don't know. I just remember that was when the Lucario Battle Pass came out and everyone was just like grinding for it. But yeah, discounted items now for Halloween. Great. New Battle Pass. So Dark Lord style Darkrai has now come out. Every legendary. Gonna get it. And Charizard.
Dark Lord.
Prize machine updated. Great. Shop updates is actually something that rarely we never talk about. I want to go in. Y'all, we. We have the Japan shop. Y'all, you can check out me and
Miss
Girl.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even check out the shop. I just looked at the events.
Yeah, we have the China shop now. So this is what happens when you click the shopping cart button. It is total redux. I'm going to be totally honest. I don't know exactly how I feel about it. Like, it is new and kind of unique. I like this. I like that when I log in, they're like, hey, recommended? yeah, buy the Hollowares.
<You're> like, please.
It is actually kind of funny that probably their best, like, you know, the thing that makes them the most money was, like, buried in the shop, like, on the bottom category before was the Hollowware, which I think is kind
of
funny.
Yeah, literally the last thing. Yeah, uh-huh. You actually had to, like, work hard for it.
So you have a recommended tab. I'm actually curious what everybody's recommended tab is. If everybody can log in and check their recommended tab. Curious if this is my algorithm or somebody else's. But you got Unite licenses. They have the ticket exchange. Hilarious that they open up the purple ticket exchange first.
Well, I think mine's a little different. It's overall the same.
Yeah. There might be, like, some things that I own.
No, they're the same. They're the same. Oh, wow. I forget I have the girl model and you have the boy model.
Ah, that is correct. That is correct.
So that's why.
Biggest mistake I've ever made.
No algorithm.
Yeah, they got the customized tab now, which is my favorite thing. I still got to buy the winter and love, the heartfelt battle notifications because I think they're fantastic. But a lot of cool things on there. It's a new Mega Lucario license art. Great. All right. Enough shilling. The one thing I really thought was super cool in this new event in game right now is they finally gave us trainer icons. So China Mode had this like right when the game launched. You don't have to have your stupid little person in the circle any longer. Now you can get any from the Kanto starter line just by simply playing those Pokemon in any kind of Unite game, quick mode, ranked, whatever. So you play one game, you get the starter. If you play three games, you get the middle Evo. And if you play five total games with that Pokemon, you get access to the final evolution icon. So right now, my icon is a Squirtle. And then I got the Lucario wraparound, which just looks really fun. So anyway, I know we don't talk about like a lot of UI and shop things very often. I just thought it was pretty cool that we had some new changes there, which is sick. We never see that change. And now it's very funny because like my friends list on the left is now just a bunch of Pokemon as opposed to being a bunch of like people with pink or blue hair. That's what it has been for years. So big fan of that change.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. Sorry, now I'm, like, customizing. I do have one of those KO banners, and I'm like, oh, I should, like, put that on more guys.
Oh, there is, if you're in the customized tab, there's a, like, put on all button. It's huge, actually. I actually don't know where exactly it is, but I found it the other day. I'm like, oh, yeah, click. This is amazing. But you can also do it in battle, or, like, in the battle prep screen. You have to scroll down now, but it is, like, KO flare is an option. In the pregame screen.
I found Select All.
Nice. So okay. Then you don't have to worry about it.
I will not be continuing to. Then I don't put on every single mod. That's great to know.
Yeah. But yeah, you can change it in battle. It's kind of nice. Because sometimes I'm like, I want to be Dark Forest. Or sometimes I'm Space Style. Yeah, I spent too much money to get the stupid Space Style one from the from the lottery machine. Anyway, let's talk about the patch, shall we?
Yeah, get back to the patch. All right.
Okay. So those are the shop updates we're going to talk about quick. Map adjustments. I, for one, am shocked that we're getting more of these, which I thought was kind of cool. We have two map changes for the map. First one, now the Regieleki countdown timer is in yellow, which is kind of interesting. So the big old circle timer, I think it's 30 seconds long anytime a major objective is spawning in, is the Regieleki one is now yellow. So essentially we are now learning what side of the map Regieleki will spawn in 30 seconds prior to when we used to. Well, that is if your team's got vision, I guess, on the circle.
Yeah. I wonder how... I played a few games before the podcast, but I didn't test that out. Like, if I could, like, hover over and see if it was yellow, if I, like, wasn't... If no one was, like, around, you know what I mean?
I also did not test it. That's a good point.
I kind of assumed you would.
No, you probably should. It would be weird if you didn't, I think. Like, it'd be cool. I think it'd be a really cool part of the game is if, like, you won vision, then, like, you didn't know or something. Or, like, even if there was, what is it, in the China mode, like, a little Magnemite or something that's, like, there for the 30-second counter. If you knock it out, then you get the info or something. That'd be kind of fun.
Oh, that would be funny.
But maybe you'd have to do, like, a minute before. I don't even know. It is an interesting concept. So I like that they're changing it personally. I do like that it's a little bit less of a coin flip of it's Regieleki here now or not.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, now we have 30 seconds. Okay, Siege, go, go, go. Break this one so we can push Regi. That's kind of fun. I'm a fan. You could see, by the way, for those of you who are watching on YouTube or something like that or Twitch right now, you could see that the timer on the mini map does not change colors. So you're not going to see off the mini map. You will have to actually pan your camera to get this vision, which is, yeah, interesting. Thoughts on this change outside of if we can pan over or not. Elvish also isn't sure. They think they can, but we don't know.
We'll confirm. But I'm kind of like, whatever, either way, like in my games. But I think from a competitive standpoint, this is a good change. It does kind of help with like, I think what their goal was, which was they didn't want one lane to be like over prioritized, which was obviously happening with bot lane. I mean, depending on the team, sometimes teams really love that Aleki. So kind of solves that problem, but also gives teams like at least a bit of a heads up on what to prioritize. Because I feel like a lot of like comp players or like streamers like didn't like the randomness. So
I think
this was a good listening to the community change.
I was going to say, I feel like that's got to be the biggest piece of feedback they've been getting about these new map changes, because this is the second map change that we've gotten that feels like to cut down on randomness, right? So we have the Regieleki timer, and then the Regidrago always pathing down first was the change prior to this. So yeah, it feels like they're trying to like, okay, we get it. We maybe added a little too much RNG. Let's roll back on that a little bit. Which I don't mind. I think that's
fine. I like that they tried to like shake it up.
Yeah.
Because I think like they're like, okay, like we're not giving you a whole new map. We're giving you like a new big guy in the middle and then like some other stuff. So we're going to try to make it feel as like different as possible and then actually seemingly listen to like feedback on what the community felt and was like, okay, we'll like tune these things down. So I like that they like tried to go a little like chaos mode or at least like probably intentionally like pulled as many levers as they could just to see what was hitting and like, what was it?
Yeah, I agree. Okay. Next change they did on the map. Top path, all the Buttlebees are now ball toys, which is interesting. What you really break it down, these two Pokemon are the same in experience. There's no EXP change in the top path. However, Baltos just have less AO synergy attached to them than Bunnelbees. Ultimately, it sounds like they're trying to make this change because the goal zone is breaking too quickly, in their opinion, on the top zone, or too easy to break because it's only at 90, right? AO synergy that needs to take.
90?
Or is it
a little?
Yeah, they made it bigger.
I thought they... Yeah, I think it was 80 and they increased it to 90, yeah, but...
I think so too.
Don't quote me.
So I don't know. It's an interesting change. I feel like it makes it even easier to stack theoretically, like albeit a tiny change, right? Like the difference between the scoring 3 or 5 is, you know, basically nothing, but still it is, okay. We'll see if it does change anything dynamically, but let's get into the meat and potatoes, shall we? The big changes of this patch. First up, Bridget, we got Gengar. Ability, levitate. It is now float stone stats. It is now level 20 float stone. So movement speed with levitate is now 20% bonus to your movement speed. While out of battle, Dream Eater, HP recovery, getting a 12% increase, and Sludge Bomb getting a half second cooldown. Half second's not too much, but it's also a special attacker. You know, those Pokemon adore cooldown emblems, items, everything. So this Pokemon's going to be running around with a blue buff all the time. So any cooldown change has got to be a pretty small tweak, I think. So Sludge Bomb getting a slight adjustment probably helps more in Haunter than anything else, to tell you the truth. Okay, so Gengar. They want to ambush a little bit more. We also did see this Pokemon is getting a chest skin soon. So... And it looks like Gaara from Naruto. Like, it looks, it's got the gourd, it's got everything. If it has sand effects, I'm going to pop off. It's going to be so sick. we'll see what happens. But anyway, how are you feeling about Gengar changes?
I'm never super excited when I see most any speedsters tuned up. Especially Gengar. I just feel like it doesn't take a lot to make him... pretty scary, especially the poison build. I just think it's like can be pretty annoying, at least with like sleep. You kind of have to like aim a little bit, not a lot, but a little.
Yeah.
So I was kind of hoping it would be more the sleep build that got buffed, but obviously it's like a combo of both, which I'm kind of like merp and the levitate thing. I mean, he doesn't have a like if you mess, I mean, some speedsters have a pretty easy out, but some, if you mess up the combo, you're just kind of, like, cooked, and I definitely feel like Gengar is one of those guys.
Yeah.
So I am not thinking that the levitate buff is going to be too bad, but like you said, it is kind of different with him since he's a, more of, like, a mage-esque.
Yeah.
Speedster. So I didn't run into any when I was playing earlier, so I'm a little undecided on this right now. He doesn't seem to be enemy number one to me.
Yeah, no, we're getting to that pretty soon. I like these changes. I actually don't think they're going to move the needle that much, if I'm being super honest with you. Like, I think Dream Eater recovery, sure, it gives you a bit more of an insurance policy, you know, like you jump into some of these fights maybe you shouldn't have. Hopefully you got a bit more to tank with or something like that. I don't know if there'll be any, like, huge change with this Pokemon. However, I do actually like the movement speed increase. Great, these scalers in Central, the only place they can kind of live these days is in Central area, and giving Gengar a little bit more chance to fight there. Maybe, I like it. I personally like Gengar getting buffs. I think he needed it, so... these ones I'm in favor for. Let's move on down to Darkrai. Speaking of Pokemon with cooldown changes and how relevant they are, Darkrai is getting a bunch of changes. It is the battle pass for this season, so these were to be expected in some variety. Its base stats are getting an increase. So its cooldown reduction at level 5 is now 10% base cooldown reduction. And at level 9 is now 20% base cooldown reduction. Now the thing is, a lot of speedsters have base cooldown reduction around this size. Darkrai's kind of catching up to that now with this stat. Mm-hmm. However, again, a Pokemon that's already got a lot of cooldown built into its own moves and with its items. Okay, Dark Pulse. Cooldown is getting a full second shaved off. That's the one where he goes inside the ground for you Dota enjoyers. It's like Sand King's, like, void thing. And its damage is getting a 20% increase. With Dark Pulse, that's interesting. I feel like majority of the damage in Dark Pulse comes from whatever other move you're partnering with Darkrai, right? It's usually like the Shadow Claw that you're comboing with Dark Pulse that's doing more damage, but still, it is doing more damage. Darkrai's stat-based cooldown reduction has been increased, raising the frequency of its combos, which is one of its Darkrai's key strengths. Yeah, sure is. Darkrai puts you in the sleep forever kind of lock, and it's pretty scary, but now Dark Pulse being better, if you have full emblems, full cooldown items, you can essentially live underneath the earth with Dark Pulse. You barely ever need to come up for air, which is very scary as an opponent against these teams. It's hard to crowd control this Pokemon already. Dark Pulse, not only is it a maneuver that gets you out of the way of a lot of CC, it also makes it very easy to escape with its huge range. Darkrai is going to be a very shifty character, and it's easily climbing my list of ban options in ranked whenever I unlock that once I get to master. But what are you thinking about Darkrai, Bridget?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of knew the Darkrai buff was coming when we knew he would become the Battle Pass guy. And I was like, okay, if they buff anything, hopefully it's Dark Pulse, because that move is like pretty bad, I would say, in comparison to the other build. So I was like, okay, maybe this will be like fine. I did go up against one in my game earlier and they were playing Dark Pulse. I think if their teammates weren't all-rounders, I would have felt a little more scared, but their team comp didn't really like play off of each other very well. So it didn't feel too bad, but he was you're right. They were underground, like perma, it felt like. Yeah. It was pretty annoying to like kind of deal with and play like the whack-a-mole game of like, okay. I mean, it kind of like, it like glows up where he's gonna like come up, right? But they can like move that around. So it's like, I don't know. Mind games, definitely mind games. But I don't know. I feel like in Blind Pick, which I saw a lot of players like complaining about since we had rank reset as well. Mm-hmm. Like, this is kind of a blind pick demon. Like, if you don't pick a comp to deal with Darkrai, then you may be having a bad time.
Yeah.
But I think in draft, I'm sure people will like want to ban it in draft since it is, I think, going to be running wild. But regardless, if the other team picks it, I feel like you can relatively build the comp around it. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Bring your Darkrai counters out, folks. If we're in blind pick era, maybe pick a Pokemon that has some decent counterplay into that Pokemon, because it is quite strong right now. And it's just fun to play, to be honest with you. Right. It's one of those speedsters that it's very unique. So it does have its fun. Speaking of Pokemon that desperately needed buffs, I'm saying a little sarcastically, Blaziken getting buffs. The very ever strong Blaziken. Another Pokemon that will be receiving some pretty nice holoware upcoming soon, which is leading me to believe that this is where the stat changes are from. It was very funny. I was watching both Spraggles and Ender's review of this patch before we did this podcast. Yeah. Right now, we have two Mega Evolutions yet to come to the game that are not been announced yet, right? And so a lot of these changes, we're looking through an interesting lens of, could this be our next Mega Evolution? And if it's, like, I don't know how you give Mega, or I don't know how you put Mega Blaziken in Unite. I just don't think it would work.
Always be Mega'd.
You just always, I mean, is it around its Unite move, or do you give it more of, like, a Mega Mewtwo, like, mechanic, where it has to, like, do damage or something to be able to Mega Evolve? I don't know. Either way, just make it always Mega, I guess. But anyway, Blaziken getting some changes. HP recovery is going up on Blaze, which it already went up before. Did it go back down again? I don't even remember. It's hard to keep track.
I don't know.
Blaze recovery is going up. The top end from 10% is now going up to 15%. Reminder, Blaze, it's only triggering when you're like below 50%, like below 30% HP or something, I think is what Blaze triggers in this one. Right. So it won't be relevant all the time, but it is going to be very tricky to knock out Blaziken if they were remotely close to enemy Pokemon. So be on the lookout. And then Blaze Kick, the movement speed decrease that it applies to enemy Pokemon after they're hit by a Blaze Kick is going up from 25% slow to the 30% slow. So, yeah. Oh, Blaze is the mark that procs at 5 hits. The healing is increased at half or below. Thank you so much, Guinness, for the clarification. I forgot it's a 2-part passive. That is a good point. But okay, so that is actually a bigger change. That's my bad. Blaze Kick, though, getting that movement speed decrease. This one's a bit of a menace.
I just don't, like, of all the all, I mean, we know why it's the skin, but, like,
yeah,
of all the all-rounders,
right there in your top left. Yeah, it's very, it's actually very good.
It's really, it goes really hard.
Very good.
He looks awesome.
Yeah.
that's definitely why this is happening. But
exactly.
It's like, man, what about Azu? Or like, I don't, something that hasn't been relevant in so long. Scizor, mate. I don't know what you do to those guys. But I just am like, dude, Blaziken again? Like, oh my god.
It's gotta be good. The Pokemon has to be good. I did like Spraggles.
Apparently.
I don't know if you saw Spraggles' tweet talking about it, but basically saying, I'm always saying someone at Timmy just really wants Blaziken to be good no matter what. And I didn't realize that I was that person when it showed the cowboy Blaziken
all the way
coming up very soon. Looks pretty good. But all right, some I think all three, Gengar feels like a solid change. Like, I was looking for, Gengar needed changes, in my opinion. Yeah. Darkrai and Blaziken did not. I'm shocked at those ones, kind of flabbergasted, if you will. The next ones, though, I don't think it needed changes, but it sure is a support that got changes. So let's run through a few of these. Blissey getting some bonuses. Eldegoss getting some bonuses. And Latias getting some bonuses. Blissey just getting an HP recovery on a soft boil doesn't change. Not huge. I don't know. Maybe they just want more people playing eggs again. Like, this feels like maybe why they're doing this.
Blissey is already, like, I feel like in competitive, it's like permaband. Like,
that's so
you
good.
Are not even playing Blissey. Like, right. It's just like, I mean, I have to think back to Worlds a little bit, but it's just like, this is already like
maybe
a common enemy. Like, I don't know. Like, but I think you're right. Like, I do think that's why. I feel like it's really hard to not pick Safeguard, especially into things like Darkrai and Gengar. So it makes sense, but it's just like,
yeah,
I don't why even think touch her healing it was at this bad. Point.
Yeah, it feels strange. I don't know. I really do think it's at this point. I think Blissey might be where the devs want it to be. You know what I mean? Like, they want Blissey to be one of the strongest supporters in the game, is my is my guess. And so they're like, all right, well, let's make both movesets viable, though. Like, let's try to buff up softballs a little bit more. Honestly, wish they would buff Egg Bomb. That'd be kind of fun. Maybe I'm opening Pandora's box if I say that. I don't know, actually.
I miss, like, Egg Bomb, you know?
Speaking of bombs that I miss, Leaf Tornado gets a buff. Let's go. It has been so long. Why is this move on a 9-second cooldown? That's my first question.
Good for too long.
It was. But it was amazing. Those were the good times. It has been changed. Exactly. A 9-second cooldown has been reduced down to 8 seconds now for Leaf Tornado. Cotton Spore now decreases movement speed a little bit more. That's like after the knockup, right? Where it like slows them for a little bit after, from 30% to 40% movement speed decrease. And Cotton Spore Plus also getting a 10% buff to defense and speed def. Oh, wait. Am I thinking of the right thing? Or is Cotton Spore Plus supposed to be referring to Pollen Puff Plus?
Oh.
I don't know.
I'm not sure, actually.
Does Cotton Spore Plus increase your defense? Probably does. All right, hold on.
I know, no. I was just about to do the same thing.
Chat's corrected me on like 6 different things in this podcast. I'm sure they'll do it again.
This is why we need them.
I know. The Dunkheads really are the best. How can I not find E? Okay, here we go. Cotton Spore Plus. Increases the user defense and special defense by 40% for 2 seconds. So there it is.
There you go.
And now it does it by 50%. Unite DB. They're hard at work trying to data mine this batch.
They're literally working on it
right
now.
I do not want to come at Unite DB right now. But okay. Eldegoss getting some pretty sick changes. Honestly, well, if not for Latias, I'd be most excited about Eldegoss because it's one of my favorite supports to play, specifically Leaf Tornado. Leaf Tornado Plus, legitimately one of my favorite moves in the entire video game. So I am pretty excited about some of these changes, but overall, what are you thinking? It's this kind of the more damagey build of Eldegoss that we're seeing.
Oh, yeah. Damage Goss is back.
Eldegoss.
From this alone, I would say. She was never really bad, but it was just kind of always hard to pick, like, honestly, even Spore sometimes I felt like hard to pick over Cotton Guard. So I did play a game of Leaf Tornado Cotton Spore earlier and it felt super fun.
Okay.
I did like 66K. I was like,
what?
Pew pew pewing.
Drop the item build for the people. What are we rocking on Eldegoss?
It was full support build. I was like EXP share. I don't even know what I was running. Okay. I should check my
Resguard on that build quite a bit. I think Resguard feels good.
I think
good.
I was double. I might have even just been double banned EXP share.
Okay, let's see if DB has a build for it. Pollen Spore, Pollen Guard, Tornado Spore. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I've updated my LD items in a long
time. Curse isn't a bad option there. Buddy Barrier feels just so good on Eldegoss. Like, it just synergizes well.
Maybe I've Muscle Band and Buddy. I don't know. I don't know.
Muscle Band X Attack is the fun combo on that one for sure. But, wrong tab. Yeah.
I definitely wasn't even going as hard as I could have.
Sure. Could have got 100K.
It's the gist. Yeah, I was not even like attack build. Okay. I was like,
good to hear.
Whatever.
All right, sounds fun. So everybody, go try Eldegoss. Let's get to the main star of this patch, in my opinion. Latias is getting the level shift downwards on every single one of its moves, right? Yeah. Dragon yes. Breath from 5 to 4. Pulse, therefore, from 5 to 4. Mist Ball and Dragon Shear also going from level 7 down to level 6. Latias gets a support move at level 6. It's crazy. I can't wait. Also, they buffed Mist Ball. Let's go. I really enjoy the idea of Mist Ball. Like, I really do like a spell that is reducing damage from range. That sounds fun to me, and it's like a targetable explosion. I think that's so cool, and it's getting buffed, so now it lasts for a full second instead of just half a second, which I think will actually just allow for the synergy between it and Latios to work together a little bit, which will be nice. Yeah, that's your chat talking about it. The patch notes at first did say that the Unite move would also be learned at level 7, which was
crazy.
Wild. That was errated a little bit later, but anyway. Yay, Latios is a normal supporter. Let's go!
So deserved. I think she's so much fun.
Yeah.
I know when Latios was running rampant, she kind of got brought down with mm-hmm. them. So, and I don't even really feel like it was like super, like she was only good because Latios was so good. Like she didn't right. really have her own chance to shine. Whereas I only played Dragon Pulse, Dragon Cheer, which only got the change to be move down a level. But actually, Dragon Pulse, you can move a little when you're casting it, which mm-hmm. they do not have in the notes. And it just feels a lot more like fluid because you're already like dragon cheering like around. Mm-hmm. So like having that, it's not like a ton of movement, but it is like extremely noticeable, especially because there's so many times where I like almost hit the enemy with my Dragon Pulse. Like now I'm like almost always hitting them, and you yeah. can just like build those stacks earlier. Like honestly, being able to build your stacks at 4 instead of 5 is like so nice.
Monumental.
So I'm excited for my girl. That was definitely like Eldegoss was pretty fun, but Latios definitely felt like even more fun.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, this is like groundbreaking.
Mm-hmm. I think being able to move while you use Dragon Pulse is huge. I mean, you're a jet plane, okay? Movement has to be right. a part of this Pokemon's kit, and I'm a big fan of it. So, yeah, I can't wait to see more Latios played both in tournaments. We're gonna cast Underdunk a little bit later tonight, so hopefully we'll maybe get to see a bit of Latios, but it might be banned. Oh, that's another change that happened in the patch that we didn't talk about, by the way. Tournament mode got another update. It is now 3 bans per side alternating. So if ranked is going to be, which I assume it will still be the vote to ban, that was not talked about, but in tournament mode, alternating bans for 3 bans per side. I think that's so cool. It'd be really fun to see what competitive teams do. Just as a fair warning for everybody, if you're looking for a lot more variety, I actually don't think it's going to. Whenever MOBAs happen where they add a bunch more bans, it's usually like, okay, a lot more things. You can afford to be less aggressive with your bans, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? So, like, a lot of the testing the waters for the first couple bans are like, all right, whatever. Let's get our... We both know these things are going to get banned at some point in this phase anyway. Just get them out of the way. All right, now we'll think about some more targeted bans. But it should create more variety. So, I am excited. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think we were in the spot where we needed it, and it was obviously a good sign when it was added to ranked, even though it was, like, the blind ban, so yeah. Super happy they added it to at least, like, the...
See if they're in a draft. Oh, they're not. Okay. Do we have Latios being played? No. Oh, yeah, and Empoleon on one side. My, oh, my. Ignorance. Okay, this is a great match.
Okay.
Everybody, you should be going and watching this stream. Ignorance versus Brouhaha right now.
Don't tell them to leave. Dual monitors.
We're on YouTube. Check this out later on Spotify. Okay. No free shout-outs. They're paying me a lot. All right, Mr. Mime is... whoo, they turned the dial up on Mr. Mime. I'm going to quickly check.
Time.
Is there any Mr. Mime skins? No. Mega Mr. Mime.
Hey,
imagine if they debuted a new Mega in our game. That'd be crazy.
Stop. Don't get me excited.
All right. Its defense stats are getting a pretty decent increase, especially its speed def. Or are they both by 60? Yeah, they're both by 60, right? So, well, one's technically by 59. But whatever.
Oh, my God.
HP stat, very, very solid for Mr. Mime. Now top ends at 9,200, which is going to be ridiculous. Barrier also getting a half second cooldown. Okay, sure. I think they're saying, play Barrier more, please. It's the fun move on this Pokemon. Trust us.
Don't do it.
Here's a
Don't
half second cooldown change. Oh, man. I want EUIC to happen that on stage again. The Crustle Rock tomb into the Mime walls. The full home being built. I saw Classics is playing Unite again. It's coming back. Iclus, too. A lot of those French boys are starting to play again. I think they're playing in UEC. It'd be pretty fun. But anyway, Mime getting a host of tanky changes. I know, speaking of Underdunk, Steelers and Kyle was talking a lot about how they were really enjoying Big Root on Mr. Mime recently. Ooh. On Power Swap. It's been kind of a fun HP restoration Pokemon. So, yeah, tanky Mime could be a very viable support or tank. I think more likely tank pick. You know, the leash healing is fine. Certainly no mercy from Overwatch though. So I think it's
they just right. Buffed Blissey healing, man. Yeah. Like, come on.
It's true. Is Elcremie like one of the only supports that didn't get changed? It's crazy.
But, my poor girl. She's an okay. Not what she was, but I think she's okay actually.
Yeah. I think Mime's good. I think Mime is like honestly is in danger of just being a stat stick. At this point, like that moving up. Sick. Yeah, I don't know. It sounded weird when I said it, but I believe it. It's HP, like with HP and defense all getting increased. It sounds like it might just be able to outstat a lot of Pokemon. It's one of those non-evolving ones, right? So it's going to have a really strong early game too. Like Mime is a contender for sure. And we have some really good Mime players, so that's exciting. When are the Greedent changes, though? Actually, never mind. Don't redact that. Editors, please?
Yeah, edit that out.
Okay. Alolan Raichu getting a little bit of a nerf, kind of. A bit of a burf, as I like to call them. Electro Ball, discharge damage from Thunderbolt, getting a 4.5% decrease. So the normal Electro Ball damage not getting changed. The only damage that is getting changed, and only by 4.5%, so barely any, is when you trigger the Electro Ball yourself via Thunderbolt. Okay, whatever. And then Stored Power is getting a 1 second cooldown, which feels great. A lot of these changes I'm seeing, as we're breaking this down, Bridget, feel like the developer saying, hey, play this move instead, actually. Like, let's just try to make both movesets viable. Feels like what a lot of these patch changes feel like. All right, like, let's just try to make both movesets viable, which honestly, I do like those changes. Yeah. Alolan Raichu probably could use more nerfs. I'm not going to lie. This is one of the strongest attackers. That being said, attackers are in a rough spot. It's just Alolan Raichu, kind of one of the lone, decent ones. So it's like, is what it is. It could be fun. I do like watching Alolan Raichu. As a caster, I like watching Alolan Raichu. It's a very fun Pokemon. So, yeah, great. I'll take it. Okay. Palmot. How you feel about this Pokemon? We're getting some changes here, Bridget. Supercell Slam getting a nerf, 10% damage decrease, and a 1 second cooldown increase. And Thunder Punch getting a buff from 6 seconds down to 5.5 seconds. Great. Supercell Slam needed the change. Palmot is so strong. I think it's still a strong Pokemon. This feels more like a slap on the wrist than anything. But maybe you choose not Supercell Slam this time. Great. You know, that seems fine to me.
It was viable for a couple weeks. You had your fun. Yeah, exactly. No more.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah. strong. Okay, Supercell Slap. Well, yeah, but maybe even a little lighter. Well, maybe it is that light now that it got nerfed. Okay, anyway. Thank you. Empoleon. Okay, not a slap. A slap to the beak multiple times back and forth.
Yeah, I hate this guy.
Well, everyone should. Empoleon.
Well, yeah.
This is the part of the show where I just read a bunch of words all in a row. Basic attack, HP recovery, down from it was at 25%, is now 15% of damage dealt on its basic attacks. Metal Claw got a 10% damage decrease, and its shield is now being reduced by 25% that it creates. Hydro Cannon, 12% damage decrease. That might not sound like a lot, but because it does a billion damage, that means it's around a million that is being being reduced. And its HP recovery down by 20%. Whirlpool damage down by 12%. Who cares? But honestly, hit everything. I like that. Unite move, Sovereign Slide. 25% damage decrease. Honestly, that feels good too. I would hit people with that penguin slide and they would explode. I'd be like, this feels wrong. Later, there's also a bug that got fixed where I think Piplup was doing like 25% more damage than it should have to wild Pokemon as well.
Which makes a lot of sense.
I guess. Sometimes it got lost in the weeds for me. It was just carnage everywhere. Who knew? The penguin got some damage.
Was so fast.
Yeah, that's true. It was crazy fast. And like your torrent gauge water gun boost, like, yeah. Okay, but no longer, maybe. A lot of changes. This Pokemon, I mean, I doubt it leaves lower than A tier, though, probably. It's still all-rounder in this meta, so it's still pretty good. But okay, Bridget, I've been ranting about this Pokemon for a while. So what are you thinking about Empoleon?
It is definitely not as horrifying as it once was, thank God. I did see some in my games earlier, and I feel like you actually need to know what the torrent gauge does now.
True.
Instead of just, like, you know, head empty, hit alt button, sovereign slide in there.
Yeah.
So, I agree with you. I mean, it is definitely found dead in the ditch after this patch, but I do think it's still, like, it's not actually that bad. No. I think it's probably like A or B.
Okay. Yeah. It's still strong. And hey, ignorance is playing it, which of all teams to use an example for playing top tier Pokemon, they're probably not the team to pick since they're a bunch of weirdos and we love them for it. But still,
exactly.
The one time we tuned in, we did have some Empoleon being played still. So who knows? Maybe our opinions will change quickly, but I'm glad at least it's just getting some nerfs. Both Palmont and Empoleon. Mega Lucario, kind of a buff. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to speed through a couple of changes. We're going pretty long on time here. So Venusaur, yeah, gets some nerfs to Solar Beam and Petal Dance. Great. It probably was too strong, right? I mean,
yes, with the root. Well, yeah. I don't even know if the root really.
Yeah, with the root.
Much, but
it's also like,
Petal Dance.
I don't know. Venusaur was just so off meta for so long. Like, it was good, but it wasn't meta. I was kind of excited to see. Yeah, specifically I wanted like Solar Beam Venu to be like a meta option. But it's tough for scalers, even though it evolves at level 7, but who knows? I don't think it'll go too far out of there, but I mean, a cooldown full second off Solar Beam, even for a Pokemon that is as good at cooling down as Venusaur is, still, tough spot to be in. Dragonite. Okay, for some reason it's getting nerfed. I really don't know why.
Beam is good. It's a good secure, but it's like,
yeah, it's technically worse now. The additional damage with max Dragon Dance stacks was at 20% of opponent's max HP. It's now been reduced to 15% of the opponent's max HP. So it's still a smite, right? It's still doing based on what opponent's maximum HP could be, but it's not like missing HP or anything, but still, I don't know. It's still good, but it's just, why? Why are we hitting Dragon? Whatever. Pikachu, Electro Ball, getting a damage decrease. Honestly, great. Who cares? Not Pikachu, go away. I don't know why I'm battling so many of these changes.
So mean.
It feels like a weird change, but honestly, Pikachu is just, I never want Pikachu to be good because Voltak, Electro Ball, Pikachu, when it's good, is a nightmare to play this game. Slowbro catching a stray for some reason. Both Amnesia and Scald are getting nerfs. Now, this could be because they're like, hey, you gotta play Surf, guys. Come on, get out there and play your Surf, bro. But
that,
like,
Amnesia cooldown is crazy.
Like, what? Yeah, Amnesia's gonna be 20 seconds before we know. It's currently 9.5 seconds after the nerf. But still, what are we doing? Okay, great. Another just weirdo change. Mega Lucario. This is the buff I was talking about, by the way, which could be worded as a nerf, but who knows? Close combat, a 1 second delay has been added before close combat can be canceled after mega evolving. Okay, yes, I guess that technically takes away a skill piece, but the amount of times, and for me, I think it's around 100%, the amount of times I just mash close combat and then I immediately cancel it by accident, it was every time. It was to the point where I only would fight with power-up punch because close combat just wasn't going to work. I was so bad at this game, but I am happy that they are putting in the bowling like bumpers for me with Mega Lucario. I feel like that's pretty good.
Bowling bumpers.
Does this Pokemon need nerfs? Absolutely. But it didn't receive them. That's a bit questionable. He actually got a buff. It's strange. I would be shocked if next patch we don't see Mega Lucario nerfs, but we'll see. But I think it should receive some.
I agree. Also, what do they not see about Suicune that I feel like we see? Why do they just let him hang out like that?
I don't know. I had API before. I wish I could pull out the win rate. But yeah, I don't know. Suicune is a very strange one. It also feels like a Pokemon that would be a good recipient for a burf, right? Like you nerf Whirlpool Ice Beam, you buff the Surf Ice Shard set. Like that would be kind of cool. I think it kind of achieves the same thing. It's just a big wave of water that freezes now. But still, I think it'd be just kind of cool for a change. But I'm like negotiating with Timmy at this point. Honestly, it just needs nerfs. But I'm like, but maybe. So anyway,
that was the theme. The theme was play the other moveset.
Totally. Yeah, that was the theme in the whole patch. Some really weird changes across the patch. Like Dragonite, Slowbro, Blaziken, like very bizarre. Some changes that I think were good. Some changes that were so weird. However, this second bug we didn't talk about, which I think is crazy. It has existed since Hoopa's release. Fixed a bug where Hoopa, Latias, and Elcremie were dealing approximately 8% less damage to wild Pokemon than intended. For those of you that don't know, there's like a hidden mechanic, I guess you'd call it, in Unite, where supports and defenders with one of their moves, usually the more damagey move, and their auto attacks, deal more damage to wild Pokemon. For some reason, Hoopa just never had it. It was always the exception. It was like, all defender supports have this, except Hoopa. And it was like, okay.
He did like a billion damage at first.
Right. So
like,
it would like make sense.
Hoopa games.
We were all like, oh, great decision, Jimmy. Like, yeah, honestly, genuinely great call. Hey, great choice to make the mythical not have that. Great decision. We find out it's a bug. We find out somehow it was missing. And apparently, due to how this bug fix is worded and the percent damage, it sounds like Empoleon got that buff. So it somehow was like labeled as a support defender or something in the game's like wild Pokemon mathematical equation. I'm saying so many words that I don't know if they fit in the right place in that sentence.
I think they were good. I was locked in. Yeah, this is crazy. So there's our buff to Elcremie, honestly.
Genuinely. Let's go.
That's pretty good. It's like pretty impactful. I mean, that's what made like Blissey Egg Bombs like so scary. Egg Bomb used to do so much damage, plus this on top of it. It was like
Dazzling Gleam onto your Mega Lucario. Everything. Let's go. We're powered up punching and gleaming these things. We're gonna win.
It's not a bad secure, man.
It's gonna be crazy. And Latios getting it sounds kind of crazy. I feel like that one I almost kind of noticed. I feel like normally 8%, how am I gonna notice it? Also, my Dragon Pulse is doing a lot more damage to wild Pokemon than I feel like it was before. I don't know. But
yeah, I do feel like I can KO the farm like much like
8% faster.
It was like kind of exactly 8% faster. It's kind of a pain to get those stacks with the D pulse. So that's why I tried to like hit the enemy, but I would agree farming did feel better.
Yeah. See, I don't know how to play Latias. I'm hitting the wild Pokemon. But guys, I'm helping. I'm clearly not.
You either last hit the farm or you hit the enemy with the pulse.
Them's the rules, and I was not doing it correctly.
That's fine.
I really want a Latios get some life. I think I've only done one of it ever once, and it was really fun. So
it's really fun. Bridge,
we gotta duo some.
I'm down. I was playing like Latios a lot in like solo queue, and like if you play Latios, like usually someone will play Latios, and I was just like, we're soul bonded for this game. Like I'm with you. Like I did. It was like kind of fun. Like in solo queue to be like, all right, you and me, bro. You and me.
That's sick.
It was fun.
I love it. I love it. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the patch, the new items. I said my overall thoughts, I guess. Your overall thoughts on the patch? It's a big one. That's kind of nice.
It really is. But, I kind of forgot about like the Dragonite, the Slowbro, Pikachu nerfs, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm pretty like excited. Like they haven't really like touched supports or like any supports in the past couple of patches. So I've been pretty like resident sleeper after like Latios kind of like fell off a little bit. I like didn't have like any new toys to play with. Like I played a little bit of Empoleon and like Mega Lucario, but it's just like not my jam necessarily. So I saw like all the supports on the cover and I was like, oh, I'm back. So I obviously am very focused on that and I'm very happy and grateful that my supports all got some love. So I'm happy about it. I like joked to my friends. I saw like all the supports on the cover of the patch and I was like, they need the girls and the gays back in this game. They said ZA came out. Call we them gotta back. Get them back somehow.
It's the only way. It's the only way. The ancestral call.
Worked. I opened up the game. It worked.
Success. Great success.
Now give me a photo mode. and then we're in.
I could care less about so much of like the China mode lobby in general. Honestly, just keep the beach and give us a photo mode. Like that's all I want.
I want it. Like, it it's would be so cool. Fun.
I mean, you give us all these cool pieces of Hollowware and stuff. Please give it to us.
But,
okay, so we wanted to talk about this a little bit. I know we've gone a little bit long, but we do want to talk a little bit about Legend Zia because it just came out. It's a brand new game. It's a whole lot of fun, at least from what you've been saying, Bridget. I know Wonder Chefs in our chat has actually been a little bit critical about it on social, but
he's really okay. Going hard. No, he's being like very normal and rational. People are just like. People on the internet are kind of crazy sometimes. I don't know if you guys know that, but
that is true.
They kind of exaggerate.
Yeah. Ugh. Can't believe it. But okay, your thoughts on Legends of Zia so far, Bridget? You've been having a good time. I saw you got your starter chosen because you ordered the game from Pokemon Center, and they gave you a plush.
I got the pig, who, if I'm being, I like would have picked Chikorita.
Yeah.
Because that's my goat.
Of course.
But I have also played like many a game with Chikorita as my starter. You know, I've quite. Literally never picked Tepig. I've probably played Totodile as well. Like, so I would like replay the games like over and over again.
Yeah.
Like I would get stuck on like the sixth badge and I'm like, all right, reset one more time. So I've probably, but I've definitely never played with Tepig. So I was like, I'm going to be open to whatever it gives me. And I know Tepig's like the least picked starter, I feel like, in most of the polls. But in my opinion, I think he got the best mega. So I
totally agree.
With my choices. Yeah. He's pretty, I actually have grown, and it's like, now I'm like, oh, now I like have like an affinity for Tepig. So I'm happy.
That's awesome. Okay. I guess I should put out a little bit of a disclaimer for anybody who is listening. From this point on of the episode, there will be Legends of ZA spoilers. Legends of ZA? Whatever.
Legends Z through A.
Legends Z through A. Z through A. Okay, so So at this point on, Legends ZA spoilers. You all knew Emboar was getting a mega, though. Emboar mega goes hard. I actually think it's so sick.
In terms of a spoiler, right, I feel. Like, exactly. If you didn't think the Chargers were getting megas in, like, the mid-game, like, I don't know. You're especially crazy. Because, like normal Meganium was, like, showed in, like, the corner of like a trailer, so people were kind of like, okay, they're not getting final evos, they're getting megas. So shouldn't be too surprising. I haven't even finished the game yet. I'm getting close, I guess.
Well, what
but
letter
I really
rank
like
are you?
Don't know. I'm rank C now. I wouldn't remember if I was B because I would be like excited because that's like my name. So I think I'm rank C. It's hard to remember.
I don't know why I felt that so funny.
I would remember. That's my letter.
True. That makes sense. No arguments.
So, So I haven't been spoiled. I've like been avoiding like people who are like further than me in the story. Okay. So I like don't really know the ending.
Okay.
But I've been having a great time. Awesome. I'm pretty much a sucker for a Pokemon game.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say like Arceus was. Like I really had fun. Like the tutorial when you do Arceus is like groundbreaking. Like that model for Pokemon was like, whoa.
Yeah,
like,
it was fun.
Sword and Shield Wild Area like was kind of like alluding to it. And then Arceus felt like, okay, this was our like first jab at like what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like very magical. So, but I will say like the whole like stealth part of Arceus, I was kind of like, and like the duck, dip, dodge of like, the battles with the big guys, I was like, oh my god, like this is not my jam.
Yeah.
Like this is just not me. So I was pretty nervous about like the battle system and like how it was gonna work. So I was just like, I tried to play Arceus like a month or two ago just to be like, oh, like I should revisit this before ZA comes out. And I was like, I do not have a clue what's going on. I don't know where I am. I don't know what button to hit. I don't know who's... I just, like, nothing stuck with me. I was like, I don't know how to play this game anymore. I don't know anything about this. I don't know who she is. So, I don't know. I was a little nervous. It just wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
So, I was nervous going into ZA, but I must say, I think this was, like, my favorite blend of the formula that they've done so far. Like, it's very, very fun.
Dang, that's high praise. I like that. I will be honest, I have not played the game yet. I'm very excited to, but yeah, it looks a lot of fun, and you can get Bennett in it, and who obviously can make it. So I'm pretty...
Yeah.
Like, it's not hard.
And people are saying the Mega Bennett fight is, like, one of the hardest, if not the hardest, in the game.
Yeah.
Like, he's kind of that guy. Yeah. He was pretty, the whole time, I was like, fuck you, Zoinks.
Yeah, with his, like, little, like, he makes, like, the three clones or whatever. Yeah, it's
pretty... Yeah, awesome. It was a good, I guess. Yeah, it's very fun. My other, I wish there were more Pokemon in it. Like, totally. I love, like, it looks, I think it looks, they always do a great job with Pokemon models. I'm sorry, I don't care about the windows. I really don't. But, like, the Pokemon look so cute in it. The picture mode is so good. Mm-hmm. You can wear real clothes. I'm not trapped in a uniform.
The craziest everything. Decision by Scarlet and Violet to do two horrible. DLCs and keep the uniform motif as well. Like, it is
horrible,
diabolical. So, yeah, I'm very happy.
I do like wearing, like, the... I have, like, the Team Star, like, outfit where it's, like, kind of, like, rugged in Scarlet and Violet. I like that one, but especially if you look back at Sword and Shield, it is just like, how was that customization better? Anyway, but we have real clothes, which is massive for me in particular. I just feel like this was like the most impressed I've been with like the formula, like as far as like revamping the formula goes. I must say I'm not really like a mega guy either. This was making me actually like really like the megas as well.
Okay, we're in spoiler territory.
They're supposed to tell me on. Ooh. Clefairy.
Oh, really? You like...
I haven't even seen her in game yet, but I'm ready.
Okay, interesting. Interesting.
I'm excited for her.
Is there any pull because we could maybe... There's a realm in which Mega Clefable comes to unite as one of our two megas. That would be...
I would cry real tears, I think.
It has a Battle Pass Holoware, you know? Like, maybe...
She is pretty beloved.
Yeah.
She has a $40 skin. She's, like, the only supporter who's really, like,
kind of getting... Yeah, getting some cash thrown their way. It could be an option. It could be an option. I know one of the highest...
I'm here for it.
People are saying it's, like, Gengar probably would, like, make sense as an option.
Right, the classics.
We'll see. I don't know. I thought so too, but like in this Gengar patch, obviously it's because of a new chest skin coming out, but like it's also getting like both movesets were getting kind of a buff, which feels like not the direction you go. I don't know. It's interesting. But yeah, I'm excited about a lot of it. Obviously, I want Mega Bennett to get added to the game, so that's who I would be leaning for. I don't think it's gonna be happening, but I do think I think there are some cool options. What are their new megas? Phalanx would be so fun. If you put Mega Phalanx in our game, I would lose my mind.
Just take out old Phalanx and put in the Mega.
And just, it's only the Mega? Yeah. And it still wouldn't be viable, I'm afraid.
No.
It would be a lot of fun.
He's pretty cute. As someone who's like was not a Mega enjoyer, did not really gaff much about Kalos, like I'm having a good time, and it's making me like the Kalos deck a lot, the Kalos Pokedex a lot more, which is what they're trying to sell me on.
Yeah,
so
that's true. They're like, please like Pyroar. And you're like, I guess.
I know. I'm falling for the propaganda of the elemental monkeys. It's working on me. It's really working.
The elemental monkeys were a tough sell. But hey, we're back. We're back a little bit.
Everything looks so cute in this. Even Pignite, I was like, he's pretty cute. Mm-hmm. Like the model, him waddling around, I was having a good time. Like,
yeah. I was gonna...
They're doing a good job.
There is a lot of things right now that I think makes being a Pokemon fan tough. Like, it's over, like, not over popularity, but there's that Pokemon is so popular.
Yeah.
Like, TCG is hard to acquire, right? Like, it's just, it feels like it's hard to go anywhere without getting spoiled on something. And you got the list of, like, issues kind of goes on. When a new game drops like this, a lot of the positives come to the forefront, in my opinion. I'm watching, like, all my friends who are content creators, and just even content creators I don't really follow or anything, posting just really fun clips and stuff on Twitter, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is what it's like to be a part of a community when we're all super excited about something, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then obviously there's, like, detractors to that. There's very valid criticisms into the game, in my opinion, in a lot of different ways, but that's,
of course,
you know, at the end of the day, of course that's gonna happen. But I was just really excited to see, like, Buzzer Bob posted this clip that I laughed at for, like, maybe 2 minutes of his Totodile running laps around this building trying to find a crystal to break, but he, like, couldn't reach it. And I was like, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen. It's like, that's,
it's so funny.
Yeah.
I think it was, like, I think I might have been having, I don't know, it wasn't even Joy-Con drift, because my character wasn't moving, but my Emboar was just, like, running away.
Like, all right,
like, bro,
see
ya. Like, do you have something to do? Like, right. What's going on? I know it's not, like, a perfect game by any means, yeah, but there's, like, a lot of charm,
yes,
there for me.
And that's always
going, like,
to happen when Pokemon are in the overworld or whatever, right? Or when you follow Pokemon. Like, it's the best decision they made ever since,
so,
like,
good.
Let's Go. Like, just always, 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 always. Like, this is the way you have... You could go back to the turn-based 8 gyms, whatever. I don't care. Like, you go back to the formula. Honestly, I don't care either way at this point. You just gotta keep Pokemon in the overworld. It's a really...
It's so good.
It's kind of a magical experience, to be honest with you. Like, Arceus kind of nailed it. I was like, I'm, like, watching this Psyduck go to the river, and I'm waiting for him to take a drink.
It was
so I
crazy.
Can throw a Pokeball at him to get a sneak attack. And it's like, what a world I'm living in, that this is, like, the
I
thought
know.
Pattern I'm having for these games. So, either way, I'm pretty excited to play ZA. I think for everybody, it's not really an endorsement or a counter-endorsement to this game. Just play whatever games you enjoy. But I am pretty excited about it personally. And if we're to get any new Mega Evolutions, I guess my vouch is Mega Phalanx. Do I think we'll get it? Absolutely not. But I think it would be very fun.
I know. I wish we got, like, one of the, like, my hope is we get one of, like, the new ones that was introduced in ZA, but... I think realistically it's probably going to be one of the older ones, but we'll see. I'll hold out hope until they prove me otherwise.
I think Mega Greninja would be pretty sick.
Oh,
you know? Because everyone
is really Delphox too.
No, totally. I just think because everyone
but
has access
Greninja
to
is...
it right now. You know what I mean? Like it's available
it's like
right
time-gated.
Now.
Time-gated.
And
yeah.
So, like, it'd be weird if Unite got Mega Delphox before people could get it in Legend ZA. You know what I mean?
But hey, goes hard.
We want the girls and the gays. Anyway, I think that is where we will end today's episode. Making Charizard releases tomorrow, everybody. We'll be talking about that on next week's podcast episode, because we'll actually be able to see what the thing does. But the good news is they changed it, and its Unite move, it does shoot blue fire now. So we can all calm down. I was worried. It's fixed. We're good to go.
I saw actually conversations about that. So
no, from
that
me,
a real concern.
I was livid. I was like, "Are you serious?
Blinks.
It looks dumb."
Blinks on his burners.
I love my burners. All right, everybody. That's gonna be it for today's episode. Mega Charizard coming up next time. Bridget has a giveaway on her Twitter right now to win a Mega Charizard Unite license provided by the good people over there at Pokemon. So if you want to go and get a chance to win that license, go interact with that tweet on X. Other than that, Bridget, anything to plug before we get out of here?
We are going to go cast Underdunk
right
now. Right
now.
So if you're here right now, we're going to do that later, which will be fun.
Yeah.
I think that's my main thing.
Sweet. Yeah, come hang out, everybody. I don't know if it's been announced yet there, or it will be at some point in the stream. I got some exciting tournament news coming up in the works for something going on in November. We'll definitely talk about it next episode for sure, more in detail, but I think we're talking about it on Underdunk later today. So go check that out. Otherwise, you'll see it on socials probably tomorrow as of this recording. So thanks everybody for tuning in and listening to Overdunk. We'll be back next week talking about Mega Charizard and the like. Maybe more competitive news. I really hope so. We'll see you then. I'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.